hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Tuesday, the 17th of June, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I love that song by Shine. Ilcha, no disrespect. I love your music. I love the song that you produced and it was selected in the National Independent Song Competition. Shine didn't submit this song, but this is an anthem, man, and I love it. In fact, for Independence 52, I'm working on a music video with the raccoons in my neighborhood, and we're going to be just like when the singing pastor used to do music videos, and he had those ladies, his choir dancing. It could be like that. It could be like that. On another note, I heard that the singing bishop was gifted with a number of vehicles for the purpose of expanding the capacity of his programming at his church, I imagine. I hope that the next time that someone kind-hearted endeavors or makes a contribution, a donation, a show of support of this nature, that they also provide the bishop with functional trucks, transportation, vehicles, things that he could use in service, right? Wouldn't it be great if the singing bishop had a food truck, right? Retrofitted to handle the capacity that he's normally working with. What if the singing bishop had 3 food trucks that could be parked in various locations to expand his food distribution and feeding program? The effort, everybody appreciates it. On behalf of the singing bishop, we say thank you. Thank you for seeing him. Thank you for acknowledging the work that he is doing. And let's put a little more thought into it. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you on a 7-day cruise for 4 to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have 4 ways to enter, 4 ways to win. 1, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. 2, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. 3, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. 4, make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025, drawing on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and 3 loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply, airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. We'll be doing another day. Numbers to call 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Text line is always powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. All right, open line today, lots to talk about. I'm going into the paper before I get there. Two things. Are you checking your mangoes? Did you get a lot of mangoes this year that looked like green or just ripe? They look like they just ripe, but when you cut into them, they're almost already gone. Sometimes the flesh is turned into like gel from the heat. Check your mangoes because you're looking at mangoes waiting to eat them, and those mangoes are already past their shelf life. Not all mangoes, but trees that are exposed to extreme heat, I would definitely check my mangoes regularly to make sure that I'm not losing them by leaving them on the tree for too long. Producer, let's get that caller up on deck on my way to work. Oh, I had a thought, and I'm going to share it with y'all. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You got to turn off your radio, listen to your phone, caller.
Hey, my name is Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Rita. Yeah, I had a couple of mangoes from different trees, right?
Yeah.
I noticed, like, it was watery. Like, it wasn't, like, sweet like how they normally be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like little watery, man. I know what's going on.
All right, so go on.
Huh?
Go on.
No. You could
respond to that. Okay,
respond
so
to that.
In the extreme drought, people have been intentionally watering their trees. Typically, we would just cultivate trees unless they are farmers, like they're growing acres of mangoes for sale. Most people don't water their trees typically, but in this extreme heat, I had to water my trees just to save the leaves. So you may find that some trees have been overwatered.
Some trees actually water mango trees?
Those who invest in a harvest.
Whoa.
I mean, let me see. Somebody told me the other day that you could get, I think, over 10,000 pounds of tomatoes from an acre of plants, tomato plants. So if you farm and if you really cultivate, yeah, people cultivate.
Okay, second thing I want put a note on, right?
Yes.
I think, because I've seen the airport road clean, right?
Uh-huh, clean.
And the very next clean, I told my crystal clean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clean. And the very next day, I meet boxes along, like,
I can tell you what the answer is right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have a law now that requires if you are a commercial vehicle or any size vehicle and you tow in debris, any material, you're a dump truck, you tow in P-Rock aggregate, you're a dump truck or a regular truck and you tow in garbage, you are supposed to cover the back of that vehicle, that container, entirely to prevent the spillage of the material that you are carrying, transporting, the spillage onto the roadways. That's one of the easiest.
Like being embarrassed by tourists and people who come in the country, drive constantly on that airport road, I look like a dump, like whatever.
Listen, here's the worst part. You worried about the embarrassment in front of tourists?
Hey, look, we ain't got no shame.
Hold on.
I don't think we got no pride no more.
Hold on, let's talk about shame and pride. Those are road hazards. You run the risk of killing somebody with debris flying off the back of your truck. You run the risk of somebody killing themselves. Forget the tourists. I mean, imagine if a tourist dies. Like, you didn't even get to the resort properly and you die. Forget pride. Let's talk about shame, right? Let's talk about a government that constantly declares, and not just this administration, the administration before, the jobs. We create jobs. We put young people in jobs. There's jobs everywhere. But there are jobs to be done everywhere, and nobody is doing it. Why are they constantly talking about jobs, but none of these jobs seem to be the jobs that need to be done? Thank you, caller.
Okay.
All right. Let me go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Good, I'm excellent. I had some disturbing news that really troubled me over the weekend.
Okay.
It's about Harbor Island.
Yes.
They said there's a Haitian community in Harbor Island that you feel like the Haitians have it locked up. And the police and all, I heard, don't go there.
So
I would like for you to investigate that and find out how true that is, because you can't have these people having their own community and breaking the laws. That's probably why all these guns are being smuggled in down there.
But listen, whether they're poor Haitians or rich expats of a different hue, we can't have it in any dynamic, any situation, any community. I agree with you there. Let me read from this article. Let's do some investigating right now, right?
Okay.
But now this one is about Abaco Keys, but we have input from the minister, so maybe we could get a sense on what is going on in the, remember, the Shanty Town Task Force?
Yeah.
All right, so let me read quickly from this article, Abaco Keys Growing Immigration Crisis at Boiling Point. Residents in the Abaco Keys are once again sounding the alarm over what they call a growing immigration crisis on the island, accusing law enforcement of accepting bribes and failing to enforce the law. Residents who recently spoke to the Tribune on the condition of anonymity said the issue has been festering since Hurricane Dorian, but has now spiraled out of control, with some feeling outnumbered in their own communities. They claim that in areas such as Hopetown, undocumented migrants are living on private property and in the bushes, with new shanty towns beginning to emerge. They added that many migrants hold work permits but are forced to find makeshift housing due to the lack of available accommodation on the keys. Quote, it's a boiling point, close quote, said one local leader. Quote, for Bahamians watching all of this happen, who have to pay all the taxes, who have to adhere to all the government rules, laws, and regulations, and these people just come and do whatever they want, and there's no recourse. Close quotes, a community leader said their biggest concern is public health, questioning, quote, where are these people getting water, where are they living? All right, I'm going to put a full stop right there. They added that many migrants hold work permits but are forced to find makeshift housing due to the lack of available accommodation. So we see a problem right there, right? Projects are being approved without the state identifying whether the requisite housing is available on the island or in the community where the project is taking place. You see the problem? Many migrants hold work permits. If they hold work permits, they've been approved and they're working. Between the employer and the government, how could a work permit be approved? How could a development get authorization to begin work if appropriate housing has not been identified and secured for said migrant workers? A community leader said their biggest concern is public health, without a doubt. Here's the second biggest concern, and it comes from this line here. It's an accusation. Residents accusing law enforcement of accepting bribes and failing to enforce the law. See, here's what my biggest concern is. Migrants are going to migrate. That's what they've been doing for thousands of years. That's what Mary and Joseph did. They knew they were doing something against the law, you know. They knew they had to lay low. You know? But still they went. Migrants been migranting forever. Greatly are the accusations, the constant accusations arising from multiple communities, multiple islands, multiple, let's say, categories of Bahamians and residents making the same claim that law enforcement is accepting bribes and failing to enforce the law. That's what concerns me greatly. Is this really happening? Migrants are going to migrate, but authorities are supposed to authority. While we have sympathy and empathy and compassion in our hearts for migrants that are trying to find a better way, we cannot tolerate collusion by state forces. That's what concerns me greatly. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, how are you going to stop the agencies and the personnel from taking bribes?
Body cameras.
Okay.
We start there. I know it's not the complete solution, mm-hmm. But we start there, body cameras.
And when it temporarily goes off, like, you know, if you turn your cell phone to the door, because your cell phone has to stay on so we can monitor you, but over here they could turn it off.
And it's a slightly different dynamic, because if you're wearing a body cam as a part of your job, then we presume that there's legislation or policy that requires you to wear it, right?
But I could cut that deal when I off duty, when I get the cam off, because I'm still that person in charge.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I say, it's just a first step. Right? Mm-hmm. But that's one tool that we have available to us. And I want to get to this story in today's paper. I'm going to find it. It's about Bahamas National Unmanned Systems Academy graduates first training cycle in drone operations. And get to that article in a second. But you're right. It's a cultural problem, right?
Yeah. Do you know why the Shah ran from Iran and Saladin accepted him in his bosom?
Because they behead people over there sometimes?
Because he also had some money to launder.
I know, I'm just saying, because they behead people over there sometimes, right?
Yeah, okay.
But that too, I agree.
Let's see, it's the money now we're talking about. The guy taking the bribe from the illegal for money. We take bribes from high officials to house you here in this country for money.
Allegedly.
Right now, the richest man in the world, most people don't know who he is, but I tell you, he's up there in Russia, and I understand it, allegedly, that he's upset with this other powerful man in the world because he refused to launder. So it looks like it's laundering money. Money.
I got
money.
You. All well, right. I tell you what, that's not unreasonable, because we know that what New York and London are the two biggest washers.
I can show you where all the gold is in New York.
Shh, don't tell me. Not on air.
All right.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Chris.
Morning.
I was asking you, right, you heard about how China introduced 10 days leave annually, right, for emotional wellness. You think that would work in the Bahamas? They call it unhappy leave. They actually give 10 days.
Okay.
Now in China, right, for unhappy leave for, I think, mental illness or emotional wellness. You think that'll work in the Bahamas?
It can work.
These jobs nowadays are sort of stressful, you know.
It wouldn't work if implemented right now. How the Prime Minister tried to lock us down right now, it wouldn't work if it was implemented, like, right now. But it could work.
You think it could work? I think sometimes how Sparky is, you might need a 10 days. You might need 15 days.
Let me go to the next call. Thanking you very much for recognizing the stresses that other people experience. I want to talk about aptitude. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yes, I'm still here, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Ms. Green, I got one question.
Okay.
All right. How much you think is for a brand new iPod?
I don't know. I imagine a brand new iPad. You mean
for a child?
First generation. I mean, latest issue, or latest model, or something a couple of generations back.
All right. Let me put it to you like this.
Yeah.
If you're gonna give a child something for their success, right? You know, they accomplish something, and it's a reward.
Uh huh.
Right. And you are a politician.
Uh-huh.
You think it's fitting and appropriate to be handing out
iPads?
I can add iPod package as, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to find out if you think that makes sense.
Okay, what's the age of the student or child?
10.
Yeah, man, that makes sense. But, however... You don't just give them the iPad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You also download, you purchase and download some software, some apps for the 10-year-old.
I know all of that, right?
Right.
But the point is, I'm saying this, right? If you out there bragging about all of this money you get as a government,
uh-huh.
Why don't just give these kids what did so well in school? Right, they as a gift for achieving such to the levels that...
Yeah, go on. What do you think the gift should be?
But let them be the ones to do whatever had to do on it first.
Hold on, you say...
It has to be a second-hand iPod.
Oh, it was a second-hand iPod? Like,
right.
refurbished?
Yes.
I got you. That's the problem, that it's a refurbished iPod. Like, it isn't...
Correct.
It isn't brand new. Yeah, I feel a way about that. I mean, I could understand... I could understand that entirely. I could understand that. See, if I was
disappointing for the child, man.
If I was a student on a summer program, and you say, hey, we got these refurbished iPods, you get to use the iPod for the duration of the program. If you're successful with the program, you could take the iPod home with you.
This was a particular school... Aaron, right?
Yeah.
This was a particular school just graduated the sixth grade, right? And this particular child achieved the
top student of the year something.
And then he won.
Okay.
Right?
I feel you. It's also psychological. But so it's a couple of things I'm gonna touch on. Did the school have to find the resources themselves, or did the Ministry of Education facilitate the prizes? Right? Did an MP facilitate the prizes? Or
the
did...
MP facilitate the prizes.
Okay, well, I would say I don't think that's appropriate for a student award. Now, because it's unfair to say to a student that we as a country are in such dire finances that I can't buy you a new iPod.
And for you being the most outstanding...
Right, and while you go tree meet and four meet all the time. I feel you. Our children deserve more than that, especially when the adults get new things all the time, whether they achieve them or not, whether their performance warrants it or not. In fact, you all be around here demanding new cars, whether you could drive, stop at stop sign or red light or not. Good morning, Cabinet Minister, who's coming down Johnson Road morning before last and couldn't remember where the lines were in the road. All right, I see you there, callers. Like I said, there's a couple of things I want to touch on the Unmanned Technology Academy. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. The National Apprenticeship Program website has just launched. Don't call us. I come into you. Give me 3 seconds. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing? Shalyn Johnson.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
That's okay. Before I just touch on that iPod, guys, though.
So, yeah.
You know, though the iPod went back to the early 89 or 90, and it first came up, we used to be under the brick age,
mm-hmm.
and those information. But then 2010, and what we call the real deal, iPod with Steve Jobs came out. It hasn't really changed, and except for memory and the computing capabilities. One of the effects we have is that Ministry of Education, now, even with its paper-type-based system, should have already, and I've been advocating for this just as long as that has been out there, that we should already have part of the learning process. I know individuals talk about how technology impacts and AI impacts individual learning, and that's only as we do it in the absence of understanding its utilization. I can tell you, both myself, my twin brother, our children going back to 1984, every single one of them over 20 have used technology as part of it, and computers and tablets as part of their learning ability. Even my current 8-year-old in the 9th grade, a 5-year-old in the 4th grade, and the 2-year-old in the 1st grade utilizes pads and AI. So it's not it. It's just that we keep buying these people these $59, $79 pads, which is nothing more than e-waste, and not teaching them the proper use and implementation of it, considering the small demographics we have of less than 100,000 students. So I was just simply saying this. One day, maybe after the next election, we'll have a conversation on that, but going back to your housing issue.
Mm-hmm.
Your housing issue is, in 1984, it was stated that we were 12,000 housing units behind the curve. It said that back then, that even then, we needed to build about 2,800 units per year. By population growth, technically, if you extrapolate from that, not catching up, you need about 1,500 units per year to be entered into the marketplace. So since 1984 to now, we have a deficiency. If you use the actual numbers, they use usually 100,000, but it's closer to between 30 to 50,000 units that is missing out of this space. Mm-hmm. And when you add in the worker right away, immigration requires that. that the individuals coming into the country should have a place to work. I mean, a place to live as part of their approval. But again, we hear them talk about 30,000-40,000 individuals that have work permit. Do you think that we have matching? Do you think those 30,000 work permit holders have matching housing attached to their permits that where they actually live here in the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
They don't. And so the problem is that the government is bragging about making $100 million a year from immigration, while at the same time neglecting the necessary infrastructure that is required to sustain this gold population and immigration growth.
How much?
We have not addressed the need.
You say $100,000 a year?
$100 million.
$100 million a year from immigration?
Yeah, from immigration-related services.
Hold on. Let me repeat that. You saying that governments successively for the, what, last, say, decade or so have accrued approximately 100...
No, not a decade. They accrued tens of millions per year from immigration. I think this year, I think what they said, 50 million, 60 million? I don't know. I'll call you back on that in a few minutes.
I just wanted to get a general sense because yesterday, a policymaker, I'm not sure, referred to... or make a statement that implied that that immigration is an industry.
It is.
Because you remember the first time, you remember when that was introduced? Do you remember when that was introduced? I mean, we weren't there technically, but it was in the 1600s.
Yes.
Called the transatlantic slave trade, when they turned migration into an industry, because migration was always happening.
Right, but see, what happens is, do you understand that illegal immigration in the Bahamas is a multi-billion dollar industry itself? It's very simple.
No, pause. Don't call it an industry. Call it a criminal enterprise.
Right.
Because there's a difference.
Right, it is. Because, you know, but see, criminality is actually is part of an industrial complex now. You know? It is, and that's why I don't care how you'd reach.
We can't accept that. I know, but we can't accept that. You know what I'm saying? We just can't accept it.
If you want to call it economic residency location industry.
I think it's problematic for us to say the numbers you quoted. We need like roughly to introduce 1,500 units, right? Housing units, whether they're permanent homes or apartments, whatever, every year.
Yes.
This time, the government has had one of the strongest lobbies ever to encourage Bahamians to open their homes or their properties for tourists, the Home Sweet Home Initiative.
Absolutely. If you remember, Aaron, I think I was one of the first people in the Bahamas over 6 to 8 years ago said that this was going to create a catastrophic type impact on the housing. But a matter of fact, that we're not building sufficient housing to meet social housing to meet those needs.
Yeah.
And you see the government of the Bahamas now is bragging about 20 homes and 30 homes, and they're going to get 10 or 20 more when we actually need thousands to enter the industry, and policy and regulations would actually bring that into effect.
I
got you. So we are beyond. You see, it's not just people say we have a housing crisis. We have both. We have a housing crisis and a housing affordability crisis.
Both, yes.
All at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the volume of people that they're saying at any given time we have 30 days staying in houses. See, when you take one statement, it then applies, it has effect on the other aspect of things. And so we want to fix one problem, and it's almost like simply putting, you know, like you say, you have a leak, multiple leaks in the boat. You put one thing on this hole, but you have to remove the thing of this hole to put it on the next hole. And this is what we are simply doing. And we keep asking, why isn't things working? You know, and the wife and I were just talking about it. In fact, I don't want to preempt her letter that she just wrote concerning the impact that we're having on education and health and other things that we have in the Bahamas. And so it seems as though we don't want to talk about anything in context. We praise mediocrity. If you were supposed to jump 10 feet across a 10-foot ditch, a guy wants to be applauded because he made it 6 feet apart.
Yeah, no.
And Bali's still in the air.
Yeah. See, Alan, I got to go. Before I go, I got another caller. Caller, hold on. I just want to ask you a question. It's tongue-in-cheek. You could message me privately. Is your wife also a card-carrying member of the FNM? You don't have to answer it on air. Her letters...
I can answer it on air.
Yeah,
let me tell you this.
Yeah.
She was a supporter of the FNM. From since she was young to the Progressive Liberal Party, and they thought that she was too smart.
Her letters are great. Well thought out, well researched. You know,
That's why I fell in love with her. She likes data.
She's a thinker.
And not opinions.
I got you.
So we get to have some good discussion.
All right, because I want to invite her on. I don't want people to accuse me of just running, bringing all the F&Ms in. You know, but
I'll PM you her number.
All right, but when people talk in sense, we get talk to them, man. Let's go to the next caller. I know you've been waiting a moment. Good morning, caller.
Yeah. Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, Mom. But Ms. Green, I had a day actually one day, and I asked you, and you was on with ZA. I'm not sure which one of y'all responded, but I asked you if a mango tree hanging over in a road, if you could pick up on it, remember that, Jack? Remember that?
Okay, yes. If a mango tree is hanging over, like, the boundary wall of the property, if it's hanging in the road, like, technically, it in the road.
Yeah, in the road. I mean, like, if you're riding under a tree, a mango could drop on your car.
Right. Yes, technically. Now, if you know that the people in the house, they sell their mangoes or process their mangoes to add to their income, I wouldn't just take as much as I want just because they're in the road.
Yeah, man, you got to have a conscience, man. Yeah. You don't care, man.
Property owners, you know, be aware that if the tree is hanging in the road, the passerbys are not committing an offense.
These like a cross, but like a peachy man, and
but look here,
mangoish, but they kind of hairyish, but in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but don't play.
And they beautiful, they peachy, they beautiful. These are some of the most beautiful mangoes I've ever seen.
Don't play with mom. If mom look at you and tell her, boy, this may be my last mango season, leave the mango.
No.
You know, but you know what I'm saying? Like if
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But Ms. Green, the reason why I called you is because you said it's open line, and I wanted you because I heard you're one of the only individuals I heard talk about the TDC before briefly, the Tourism Development Corporation, and I was wondering if one of these days, if we could have an in-depth conversation about the Tourism Development Corporation, because I think you said they have their own consolidated fund or something like that too, so I mean, we need to find out what they're doing with our money.
Well, and okay.
I had a personal experience with them too that I need to have brought out to the public.
Okay, right? So...
Because there's been a lot of talk of... use people's vision and use people and try to cut people out their own stuff like that. You know what I mean? We need to have a conversation because it would be ideal for the Tourism Development Corporation. And plus, I see them having this. It hasn't been advertised as they used to advertise things, but I managed to see something where they say they have this kind of pitch competition where they're offering $7,000 to the first place. I think it's $5,000 to the second and third, $3,000. For the third place person to come and pitch their idea to the Tourism Development Corporation. But I just want to say, don't go to the Tourism Development Corporation. All right? Don't go to them and pitch to them your idea.
Okay,
like
pause.
Ms. Green, I want to know when we're going to put them, when are we going to put the Tourism Development Corporation
in the spotlight? Okay. Thank you very much. So two things. I will invite representatives from the TDC to explain to us its composition and all of the elements connected to it, the agencies or organizations or associations flowing from it or affiliated with it or facilitated by it, right? Like the Bahamas excursions, etc. And we get them to explain to us, I think now that the law has been passed, whether a tourism development fund has been established separate from the consolidated fund. We could do that as well. And then we're going to ask them to answer some harder questions from the audience about ownership of ideas. See, because from you say $7,000, trust me, you should know they paying you for your idea. And if you don't win the competition, it's likely that in the terms of the agreement that they own the ideas that don't win also. Let's go to the phone line producer, and then I'm going to get, some text came in. I'm going to get to the text as well. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Sorry, I missed you, caller. Text line quickly. Record $123 million in revenue from immigration reported by Mr. Sayers. Another text, record $123 million reported by Alfred Sayers in budget debate for immigration. See, because here's the thing. Can a crisis and an industry at the same time? This when your Grammy... I'll tell you to come sit down on the porch with her and repeat what it is you tell her in the house. Because she's trying to give you an opportunity to sound it out so you could hear it. and how it sounds. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. And then, producer, let's go to a break. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Miss Green.
Morning, morning. How you do?
Yeah, all the avocados falling up the trees. I don't know what's going on.
They falling? Because you,
yeah,
you,
I just, it's unbelievable. I just, this one is about the third year bearing. Everything is falling off. The first bear year one lose all, maybe one or two. I've never seen it before.
Okay, but pause. This is important, right? And I can tell you why after I say this. So here's what we need to do. We need to test the soil. Are you watering? Are you watering the tree?
Sparingly, but they, you know, this area is kind of, you know, just like this the growth. So it's kind of always water's always
true settling
water table. So they fared well over the years. I'm just saying this is something unusual.
Okay,
but,
hold on a moment.
The time I had sent you,
yeah.
you noticed the disease
on the shell.
I know you're not familiar with that.
The scales on the shell. I've seen it once or twice, but not as prevalent as in the batch that you brought me.
I wanted to make a quick
hold on. Let me say this. About the avocado, worrisome to me. We've been through a period of extreme drought this year. 2023 was extreme rain and wet. 2024, it subsided. 2025, so far, is extreme drought, right? What I've noticed is that maybe water tables are shifting. I've seen certain areas where I live, where the ground is far drier, areas that used to...
I guess it's much more hilly.
But hold on, here's why this is terrifying to me. Right? Because, I'm going to tell you all a little secret. Don't tell nobody I tell you all this, okay? The beauty of the avocado is an avocado will get full and it'll stay on the tree. It will not get ripe until you pick it. Yeah?
Yeah. Because
so,
you don't have to leave them on the tree to get ripe. Basically, I've never even picked them ripe off the tree. I've never seen a ripe avocado.
Because it doesn't get ripe until you pull it off the tree.
Now I have to believe that because that's my observation.
Yeah.
You understand me? I'm not a fool, you know. It's just like, that's also, I want to share this also with what C. Allen was saying about learning and data, computers, etc. But, you know, books are the best learner. And I didn't hear everything what C. Allen was saying, but what happens is with the online process, you're seeing a psychological change in the behavior and the learning of children.
Right.
It's being proven.
Absolutely.
But I want to get at this quickly as far as this immigration crisis. When you, the conversation yesterday, you had given a holistic approach on how to deal with this problem as far as datification, labor datification, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, but for the numerology, do we only need Haitian migrants to come in?
No, I agree with you. Hold on.
The demographic?
No, you're right. We need...
Except the demographic. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then...
We need... Even if expanding the genetic pool is your target, you need that. You ain't wrong, 52.
But I want to get this in, because I want to show the lack of concern about the behemoth interest and welfare as it relates to the government. But why can't they just pass the Shantytown Act to stop the migrants from creating their own parallel society and creating those narratives, whether it's true or not, what Mountie Collins said, that what they are doing in Eleuthera? Because I've heard those. So what I'm saying is, if you have a group of people building up numbers and they're showing contempt for the human people, which it shouldn't be, and you're not hearing from the Minister of National Security, you're not hearing from people like Luby George, the branch unification of the people, then what good are they be here? Why they don't go back Haiti? That's what I'm saying. If they like it here, why are you lambasting and why this tension with this conversation?
Thank you, 52.
It's just one simple Shantytown Act. Clean up the situation and make it legitimate, and then they can come.
Thank you.
On a regulated basis.
Thank you, 52.
It can't be the way it is. The government ain't saying nothing, and nobody's saying nothing. It's like it's all, you know, it's great.
I gotta go, 52. But thank you. A regulated. Sorry, caller. You gotta call back on the other side of the break. A regulated labor migration system. But it ain't just Haitian migrants showing contempt to Bahamians. It isn't just we perceive Chinese migrants. Tourists show contempt to Bahamians. Just like Bahamians behaving now, I pay my money to get here and I can do what I want. That's how some of y'all is acting in the stores. I pay my money. I can be rude if I want to be rude. If you can't call back right after the break, you're on the clock with Aaron Green. It's an open line. We'll be right back.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Hey Bahamas, it's your girl, Coach Trishana, and guess what? I'm over here now on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM with Your Lane Talk Show. Starting Sunday, July 6th at 4 p.m., I'm bringing you real talk and fresh perspective on everything that matters to us as women. Relationships, beauty, finances, faith, and so much more. I'll continue to bring transparency to taboo topics as I aim to empower, encourage, and educate women of all ages. Stepping boldly out of the four walls, and tune in every Sunday at 4 p.m. We're walking in your lane on Guardian Talk Radio.
Let's have a conversation on what we face every day. It's Your Lane Talk Show with Coach Trish Hanna.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that are second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love. I love you. Tell me that you love me. Tell me that you need me. Cause I don't mind waiting, waiting for you. Tell me that you love me. You need me, cause I'm falling, falling for you. Hey. Let me tell my synopsis. Nice body, cute face, and a soft lips.
Good morning, welcome back to On the Clock with Erin. We're gonna have a word with my producer right now. Producer, that's Shine again. Shine! What you been with? Dear Bahamia, y'all hear all this love music, all this beautiful relationship music, all this be in love and be in love with yourself, in love with the world, in love with your partner music. Shine out here making that, Johnny Cake out here, he making music to entertain you too, you know. These two boy them just will not stop. Don't stop. I don't blame you. Don't stop. I got lots to talk about. Let's text line. Miss Green, avocado full can be picked when the stem turns brown. When the stem goes from green to brown, then drops catch just after they turn. No, see, you made a secret again. It's a secret. Don't tell anybody I tell you all this. But if you do, tell them you heard it on the clock first, right? The avocado full will stay on the tree until you take it off, or the wind forces it off, or a bird flies into it because, you know, With the song Gary Davis is singing, High Flying Bird? Yeah, he wasn't flying so high. Or the bird fly into it. Or the raccoon in the tree shake the tree and it fall off. But other than being disturbed, the avocado will sit on the tree until it is removed. And it won't get ripe, right? It'll be full, but it won't get ripe until you remove it. Which is why I'm so concerned of an instance where somebody observes that the avocados, for a couple of years at least, have not been holding onto the tree. Ma'am, that's what it is. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Yes, I get 2 points, Graham. But the mango. Man, you get any mangoes on here? And I pass somewhere in South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I see a mango tree. Must be but 20 feet tall. Tall mango. Loaded down, you know. Mm-hmm. And you get must be 300 mangoes on the ground.
No, man. In South Beach?
Man, I was so mad.
Let me tell you something. 10 years ago, you find me on the road anywhere. If the police find me, they have to stop me and ask me, Miss, where you get all these mango from in your car? And why you just jam them in your car like this? I'd stop if it in the road. I'd stop and pick it up, buddy. We don't see what is available to us. But I understand why we don't see it, because we need to see systems. Seeing mango on the ground, right? We need to see the money. Seeing mango on the ground don't mean anything. But if I knew there was a factory where I could just collect my mango, rinse them off, and take them to the factory, and they'll sort them. They'll determine what'll go to the hog farm. They'll determine what'll be sold in the market and what'll be sold to processors, right? Then every day I scraping up, I go taking them somewhere.
Correct. Aaron, man, yeah. I run off. I had the plan. I planned me one mango tree. But I was with 3 years ago. We're getting there now. I was 300. But because I had the plan me one mango. I'm sure them had to pick. They wouldn't in no mango going to drop on the ground yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What I see going on, and the people that won't give the neighbors them, they don't give, they get, if you get co-workers, family, friends, and then come on, man.
Okay, so see, here's my thing. If we neighbors, and you don't never stop by and hail me, you don't even blow your horn when we passing on the road, why you think you could just walk in my yard and take mangoes without saying, afternoon, neighbor?
I mean, walking, I talk about taking, not even the neighbors, they get co-workers.
Yeah.
You get a whole, you work in the office with a bunch of people, you can make diapers, man.
It makes people feel so good when you give them something. You know, people have children and they can't afford to buy all the things they want to buy. You know how, like, I agree with you. You know how nice you make your co-workers feel when you gather up the mangoes and tell them, here, y'all do with these what you will? I with you, son.
But my next point is, Aaron.
Quick, because I got, you go
on. The problem is, we're going on in this country with the immigration. We is the one who rented the place to the Haitians, them, or the rest of the foreigners. We is the one who have them get, when they come off the boat, they hiding them. And let's go up to the top. Because, I mean, I know it's corruption in this country, because I speak to people, them, Haitian people, them, and who made this country, who get, and they get married from Joneses. People on the side of the road, they get paid, they get married for $500, $200. On the road,
mm-hmm.
to get these papers.
Yeah.
Right now, in these hotels right now, they have more, they almost won't have more,
Haitian descent. Oh.
The humans in the hotel now waiting.
Okay.
Oh, and they can't speak English. Oh, how are they getting these work permits?
Are they subcontractors, or are they working?
They subcontractors, and then you got to realize this. They move on, and they picking up so fast, Aaron. They're doing the same work with the behemoths I'm doing, and then they're doing more than the behemoths.
Cousin, you know when Pinland said, if you want your country, you have to fight for it?
But they ain't fighting for it.
Hold on, what if he meant you have to fight your bed and work 3 jobs every day to own your country? What if that's what he meant? You know? And I think in, that's the, and I could say, coming from me, I survive. I feel the weight of that. What if the problem is that we're not willing to fight for our country, and fighting for our country means everybody have 3 jobs, like in Taiwan, like in Singapore, right? Like in the Philippines, in China, they got co-ops. People are part of 2 and 3 co-ops. They got a minimum of 3 jobs that they go to every day. Question is, are we prepared to fight for our country in the way that we need to fight?
But yeah, Aaron, before you go.
Yeah.
This society now is not fighting. They don't get, Aaron, they don't care if they can come home and eat noodles or eat maybe just eat drink rum or beer, something and all that. They don't mind that no more. This society messed right up. And that's why we have all this illegal immigration inside this club, I mean, inside this country, because we are fighting each other down. They stand up for each other. They helping out each other.
You know, let me show you why. It's two analogies I'd like to use. I want to say thank you very much for calling, sir. Two analogies I like to use. The first one is like death of the drug era. We still within the drug era. We did not resolve it. We did not heal ourselves beyond it. We still in the drug era. The second thing is like this. It almost feels like Bahamians in postpartum depression. I'm not taking away anything from the pregnant woman's experience of postpartum depression after giving birth, but we depressed. Bahamians are depressed. And primarily they're depressed because they don't understand why their wallet looks the way it does. But they don't understand why their wallet looks the way it does because they don't understand the true impact of the drug era on the Bahamas. And you know why? Because nobody is talking about it. Because we only talk about what politicians want us to talk about. And talking about the drug era is not politically expedient. Imagine, we have a U.S. indictment, we got the Michael Johnson probe, among all other matters, and nobody is talking about it. Caller, I'm sorry I'm out of time. I can give you this, but you got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller.
Who want to be him and get a third job? We ain't getting paid for the first job.
See?
Almost definitely got the second job, and you want us to get a third job? You trying to kill us?
Yeah, but look here. See, that's what I'm talking about. We depressed. Hey, Aaron, I did not know that avocado only ripens when they are picked, and you can force ripen it. That's just how these predators treat these little girls. I telling you, Texter. Aaron, thanks for the mango reminder. My tree heavy right down. I got a box in the back of my car now trying to give away. Don't wait too late because they could be overripe by the time the people get to them. Okay, I had a buku a story. We didn't even talk about the fire in Coral Harbor and how many fire trucks showed up to the fire in Coral Harbor near the airport. We haven't talked about Colby Davis saying the upgrade of T&D system on New Providence is underway. So you telling me you waited until the summer? Pike been here all this time and y'all waited till the summer to upgrade the T&D system on New Providence? Okay, and then we're going to get to that unmanned drone story because did you know that there was an unmanned technology, an unmanned systems academy? Did you hear about the Bahamas National Unmanned Systems Academy held and they held their graduation ceremony at the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Coral Harbor Base? 16 participants, 4 instructors graduated. Personnel from Royal Bahamas Police Force, Customs Department, Department of Correctional Services, Department of Immigration, and Royal Bahamas Defense Force. You know what would have been good? Would have been good is if a civil society organization had facilitated participation, had formed a specific organization to partner with the government and ensure that they could run similar drone operations in conjunction with the government and within the scope of the law. Like, wouldn't that have been great? Sometimes I wish y'all would talk to the experts because you have them. You just want to talk to them. You don't even want to acknowledge that they exist. Anyway, open line. We got lots to talk about. Juneteenth is coming up on Thursday. We're talking with Natino Thompson. We're having a interesting political discourse tomorrow. We're talking about Future of Democracy 4, Conference 4. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a good time the rest of the week. And hopefully, Stanley Mitchell's going to join me at the end of the week, and we could talk athletics. We could talk track and field. Anyway, producer, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're all out of time. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio, AM with C.A. Newry is up next. I'll swim in the sea. I jump off my boat. Right. When I'm in the island, that's what I want to do. To snorkel out deep. Swim in the ocean.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.